stop us go. She stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same.
All right, now that I'm finally using the right mic, you're listening to A Bus Stop by the Hollies. This song, released in 1966, was written by Graham Gouldman, famous for writing music for the Yardbirds and Herman's Hermits, and then eventually joining 10cc. It reached number 5 in both the UK and US charts, and number 1 in Canada, and today it is one of their most iconic songs. Mainly, the group is widely known as one of the most famous British invasion groups of the 1960s, but what is less widely known about them is that their music carried well onto the 1970s and 1980s, largely keeping the same roundup, and they released a grand total of 23 studio albums across many genres because, as expected, this poppy, bordering on psychedelic sound was not meant to last. Times were changing, and in 1971, the group released what remains their biggest hit to date. It was a song like nothing else they had ever released before, utilizing a rough rock and roll sound, a driving guitar rhythm, and powerful delayed vocals. But we'll get to that song soon. For now, you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. This is Sugar Dove, bringing you our very first record deep dive. And now, sort of a preface as I shut the music off. This is going to be a very different kind of episode, largely unscripted except for that first part. And whereas in other broadcasts you mostly hear the music, for this one you mostly hear my beautiful voice. Oh boy, hello. And thank you so much for tuning in. I'd like to wish you all a very wonderful Thanksgiving this coming week. And I'm thankful for many things this year, but one of them that I'm highlighting now is my thankfulness for the group that started it all. That is the group that got me into older music. And I am very excited to show my appreciation for what is probably my favorite album by them, personally. I love this album. I think the best way to showcase a whole album, which is something that I don't get to do a lot, is by sort of taking a more chill turn on my usual type of episode. So, first, a bit of history before we begin, because I know a disgusting amount of information about the Hollies that is otherwise useless, except for when I get to use it for an Odyssey project. The Hollies formally entered the recording world in 1963, but their story begins long before that. In fact, it begins in an elementary school classroom with two little Manchesteran boys named Alan Clark and Graham Nash. They were childhood friends for a long time and eventually would form many musical groups together. Eventually, their most well-known one and latest one being the moniker The Two Teens, and eventually they would meet up with some members of another up-and-coming rock and roll group called The Dolphins, and they would form a lineup made up of Alan Clark, Graham Nash, Tony Hicks, Bobby Elliott on drums, and Eric Haydock, who was eventually replaced by Bernie Calvert, who was also in The Dolphins. And they had various hits throughout the 1960s, including I Can't Let Go, Bus Stop, which you just heard, Carrie Ann, Stop, 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 what else? Dear Eloise, there's so many of them, guys. And they became widely known for their sort of safe pop sound and unique but charming harmonies. But the late 60s, as you know, brought many changes. Groups started to move away from rock and roll and move towards various psychedelic sort of Indian influences. And lyrics became a lot more experimental in general. And especially through the contributions of Graham Nash, the Hollies would release many unique psychedelic albums, starting in 1967 with the album Evolution. It has a crazy cover, very like psychedelic, all these like crazy colors and sort of a fisheye lens thing going on. And then after that, they would release Butterfly, which is sort of their most famous album currently. A lot of people put it on their list for the top 10 albums of the psychedelic rock era. But over time, the group would have some creative, what's the word I'm looking for? Like creative, like disputes going on, especially since psychedelic rock can only work for such a long time. This sort of split between the pop and commercial and the psychedelic and experimental. It mostly sort of began with a track that Graham Nash wrote titled King Midas in Reverse, which, while it was still a hit, it wasn't quite the hit that the group had hoped it would be, especially given the amount of money that they spent on it, getting a whole orchestra for it. And in response, the group was asked to write a more commercial tune by the name of Jennifer Eccles. And this would be a much bigger hit that King Midas was. And as you can imagine, Graham Nash was not very happy about this. And finally, the nail in the coffin was the Hollies' very next studio album after Butterfly. The Hollies Sing Dylan, which is a Bob Dylan cover album. A lot of groups were doing these at the time, and yeah, it just kind of felt like an insult to him, I guess. Although, me personally, I still love the album. I love all these albums that I'm naming. And after that, in 1968, Graham Nash left the group and went on to form the group Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, which, if you thought the name Graham Nash sounded kind of familiar, well, that's why. And Terry Sylvester was brought along to fill his spot of rhythm guitar and backing vocal. And they would release Hollies Sing Dylan with him on the cover and him on all the tracks. And although he isn't nearly as famous in this position as Graham Nash is, he would fill it for way longer. I think almost twice as long as Graham Nash was in the group, nearly 15 years. And after that release, which was not really huge or anything, they would release another album called Hollies Sing Hollies, trying to sort of reestablish themselves as a songwriting force. And unfortunately, this one wasn't such a huge hit either. And their next album in 1970, Confessions of a Mind, another fantastic album, began to sort of see this shift away from pop just a little bit. A lot of their pen songs on that album started to have more real-to-life stories, and the occasional little bits of rougher rock in there, but largely still that sort of 60s pop sound that they were well known for. But slowly, the group began gaining traction again with a number of singles, starting with Sorry Suzanne. Then, of course, one of their most famous hits, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. I think this is currently their top song on Spotify, in fact. Very, very famous. And they were sort of starting to see a resurgence going into the 1970s. But, of course, in 1971, they released an album that was like nothing they had ever released. Well, starting with that song I mentioned earlier, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. A lot of people still think this is Creedence Clearwater Revival, which I don't totally hear, but we'll get there. You'll hear the song soon. But yeah, before we move on, you might be thinking, Disco Dan, if the Hollies have so much history and they're so influential and important, how come I've never heard of them? Well, how come I've never heard any of their albums, maybe, is how I would put it. I think there's a myriad of reasons this could be, that they're not really as famous these days. For one, they're mostly famous in their homeland, Britain. And a lot of people sort of consider them to be a quote-unquote singles band. A lot of their hits were singles. They weren't really as well known for their records that they put out. And of course, nowadays, I do think it's a very good thing that the sort of older music community has put such an emphasis on listening to full records and full albums and going through discographies. I think that's super awesome. But a lot of bands have ended up falling through the cracks because, you know, their albums just aren't really, like, on, you know, these lists that people listen to. Although, me personally, I think they have a discography really worth listening to. And if you enjoy this broadcast, you should definitely check out some of their other albums, in my opinion. But, yeah, for the most part, those two things, mostly being famous in Britain, mostly being famous for their singles, would be changed with this one album, sort of exclusively almost. It reached number 21 in the album charts in the U.S., and it generally sort of has a more American sound that they would take on to many of their albums into the 70s, and me personally, I think, was their best era, in my opinion. It's very underrated. But now, without any further ado, I'll begin the album. I actually have some very exciting news for you. I collect records. I have almost all of the Hollies records. I'm mostly missing many of the early 60s ones, and I think only Right On from 1977 for their 70s albums. I have all the other 70s ones. But yeah, I also, that does mean I have this album with me in the room. In the room, as you might say. And if I can figure out how to play it, we can sort of have a Vinyl-thon part 2. If not, I have it on Spotify too. We can just play it there. But sort of to make this more unique, I am going to follow sort of the same format that I did with Vinyl-thon, where we listen to half of side one, or like the entire side one, half of the album, and I'll sort of give my thoughts afterwards, and we'll just kind of chill together and have a nice time just sitting back, listening to it just as they did in the 70s before the digital age. And I want to say real fast, I absolutely love this album cover. I'm going to get it real quick. I absolutely love this album cover. It is one of the most gorgeous album covers ever. It was illustrated by Storm Thorgerson, who is also famous for his work with Pink Floyd. And it includes a lot of symbolism, most of which I personally am not sure about. We got this man, boy, probably man, looking into a lake in this beautiful forest scene. And in the lake, we see a shadow, but also three disco balls, these weird, like, bat creatures, some stacks of coins, a safety pin, a flea, hands shaking, like shaking hands, glasses being toasted, head with a bowler hat and two faces. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's still a very beautiful cover. I just love this forest scene with all these barn swallows flying around, and just how vibrant it is. And on their next album, they would have this same sort of cover, but as a winter scene instead, and there's nothing in the water that time. And he seems kind of shook by that too. this guy can't catch a break, is what I'm thinking. But anyway, we're gonna begin with the first song, that is What a Life I Led, which I've actually played on Sugar Dove before for one of our country broadcasts, and you're gonna hear my favorite member, Alan Clark, who's the lead vocalist, doing what is admittedly a very bad fake Southern accent. But if you're not totally sure about his voice, just give it a minute, because the second song right after that, Look What We've Got, is one of my favorite vocal performances from him ever. It's just one of my favorite vocal performances from any singer, and it is also like one of my favorite songs by this group. It's such a good song. Oh my gosh. There's other good songs on it. And we're gonna listen to it. And I'm gonna think of what to say because people are telling me to play it. Okay, I will. We'll test out the record player and see if it works. And I'll see you very soon.
Cheating and lying left a lot of men dead and alive. hoping it won't go. See, when I could cry, I just sit and cry over my baby. Seems that in the past, it was gonna last. Somewhere it went wrong, all the good times gone. But I don't know why, so I sit and cry. Of you, girl, running through my head. Wish that I could die, so I lay and cry over my baby.
Was not expecting it to be that crackly. I did buy it used at a little record store or record booth in a big antique mall down in Hot Springs, and I was so excited to find it. I'm always like, every time I enter a record store, I'm always like, do you have any Hollies? And usually they're like, I don't know, and we're like, who's the Hollies? But I was very excited to find that one, even if it is not quite ready for radio, but, you know, that's why we do these. That's why this is an experimental broadcast. But in the meantime, while we're having this short intermission, I do want to talk about the two songs that you just heard, What a Life I Led and Look What We've Got, both composed by Tony Hicks and Kenny Lynch. And all the songs on this album, in fact, are originals, more or less. Some of them were written, like that one, with the help of other songwriters. But both those songs were amazing to me. What a Life I've Led is a funny little sort of Western-themed song where Alan Clark, in his fake Southern accent, he's this former outlaw who's now living alone, regretting his life and thinking about what he's done. And I need this song in the credits of a Western right now. I also, like, in a perfect world, wish that Alan Clark was the main character in a Western film, because just like, look up pictures of him in the 1970s and his whole like style, he just, it would have been perfect. I guess he still could. He's still kicking and doing quite well. It's not too late, Alan. Please do it. But then we have the amazing look what we've got. This is one of the first songs I learned on saxophone. I can't play that ending part, but I can play the solo in the middle. And it's just a beautiful, extremely powerful song. And yeah, there's like not much else to say about it. I love the saxophone. I love the organ. And I mostly love Alan Clark. And yeah, he sings most of these. We have a few from Terry Sylvester, one of which you hear very soon. But for now, I'm going to switch it over to the evil corporation, Spotify, because you'll get to hear it better, at least. You'll get to hear it more clearly. And I also just love how, like, clean and, like, tight the instrumentation is. They're all amazing musicians, so I'll give them the... I'll give them what they deserve. although I personally like the Radio Crackle. Some people like it. Some people dislike it. Yeah, let me find it. Too many albums on Spotify. Here it is. And now we're going to listen to the next song, Hold On, which was written solely by Alan Clark. And we'll see you again very soon. Probably at the end of this side, for real this time. my gosh, how awesome was that? You're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas, and this is the Sugar Dove Record Deep Dive. We have just finished side one of the Hollies' Distant Light from 1971, and as you can imagine, we are definitely going to go over time, but I think it's okay. We don't have another show on the radio until 10 p.m., and in post, I'm going to crap out some of the moments of silence for y'all, but let's talk about what we just heard. It was four amazing songs from the Hollies. Oh my gosh. First one, Hold On. This is the one I talked about, written by Alan Clark, and who also does lead vocals. And it is just such an awesome rock and roll song with amazing rhythm guitar, and talk about that killer organ solo. I'm not exactly sure who played it. Could have been Bernie Calvert. I know in the later 70s they often got Pete Wingfield to do some of their organ work, but and it says on here that Gary Brooker did the organ and piano on the final track of this album, but I'm not sure who did it on all the other tracks, but either way, it's really good. Whoever did it did an amazing job. But now, this is one of the ones that also has a pretty interesting story in the lyrics. From what I could gather, Alan Clark, he's, you know, walking down the street and he sees this pretty cool girl who takes him to her apartment. And they're about to have, you know, some pretty cool, wild, fun times when suddenly her boyfriend walks in, cuts Alan while he's trying to get out the door, and I guess he dies, is what I can imagine. I'm not entirely sure, but that's what I've gathered. Sometimes Alan Clark just sings the silliest, like, crazy, most, like, pathetic stuff sometimes, but he still makes it sound so awesome, which is another thing I love about him, and I'll continue gushing about him this entire show. But now, the next song, Pull Down the Blind. This is the first one without Alan Clark on lead vocals. It was both written and sung by Terry Sylvester, in fact, that new member who replaced Graham Nash, and he's quite good. He started to sing a lot more songs around this time and did a lot of songwriting work for the band. And this song, I think, is a great example of how he was sort of coming into his own in the group. Features a lot of super cool guitar. Tony Hicks, very underrated guitarist. The next one, To Do With Love, got a bit of a slower, more somber one with some absolutely amazing finger picking throughout. And I'd also love to highlight Bernie Calvert on bass guitar, doing an amazing job. And Alan Clark, once again, coming in with the amazing tenor vocals, just so full of emotion, especially on that lyric, like, I just want someone to love me. Just, oh, it's so good. And it also features a lot of those iconic Hollies harmonies, of course on songs throughout, but very good here. Graham Nash, during the 60s, of course, added this iconic, high, raspy part to those three-part harmonies, but I think Terry's voice sort of blends a bit more smoothly with the other vocals, a bit better, although I think both have their, you know, pros to them. But now the next one, and the last one, Promised Land. The late 60s and early 70s, of course, were the time of the Vietnam War, and this brought a lot of songs about the Vietnam War and protest of it. And, you know, it's a little hard to hear the vocals, since, you know, Alan Clark is doing this sort of slurred rock and roll, like, bluesy style. But some of them include Where's the Promised Land? It can't be found in Vietnam. It can't be found where the eagle has landed. If we want peace for every man, we've got to make the world demand it. And it talks a lot about protest, and yeah, it is also just a very awesome sounding, like, empowering sounding song that just matches the vocals, like, so well. And it has that, like, incredible ending section with the distorted guitar. That the ending of it just blows me away every time, but it's just a perfect way to end this side. But now we're going to go on to side B, which finally, at long last, starts off with that song that I've been mentioning over and over again. Like, this is the Hollies song, and even if you've never heard of the Hollies, I'm sure you've at least heard this song once, maybe in a commercial, maybe in like a movie or a TV show or something. It's a very famous song, and like they just, people love to use it for like any scene that's supposed to be like cool and like American and stuff. But it has its own, you know, pretty unique story in the lyrics, although I'm gonna let the music speak for itself. Although I'm gonna do sort of what I did last time, because these first two songs, once again, have a lot I want to talk about. So I'm going to do that same sort of thing where I talk after the first two songs, but then let the next three songs play on their own before finally finishing off the album. And maybe sharing a few songs after that, because I can. We're gonna close out with something else, but we'll get to that. For now, here's the next song, The Hollies, with Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress, the one you've all been waiting for.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that chord. Ugh. I'm back again. We are officially over time, and you're listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. I didn't realize this album was 44 and a half minutes long, so I'm sorry about that. But it seems to go by so quick when you're listening to it. First of all, long, cool woman in a black dress. I'm sure you've heard it. And, you know, even listening to this album, you can tell it's very different from anything else they've made or would even go on to make. For one, it doesn't feature any of those iconic harmonies. It's just Alan on vocal and lead guitar. And it has this very rough, very cool sound. I can understand why, you know, so many movies and like shows and stuff have used it. And it was written along with Roger Cook and Roger Greenaway and Alan Clark. And follows sort of this story in the 1920s Prohibition era. This cop comes into this speakeasy, you know, all these people around drinking, the cop's about to shut it down, and suddenly he sees this pretty nice looking lady, and is, of course, the place does end up getting shut down by someone else, I suppose, and he helps sneak her out, and that's sort of where the story ends. I guess the rest is history. But it's such a fun little song, it's so good. Even though I've heard it like a million times, I understand why it's a hit. It's like it's one of those ones that you can't get tired of. But this, you know, different sound, this focus on just Alan Clark, it definitely highlights him looking for more creative control. And after this album, he would actually briefly leave the Hollies for a while to begin a solo career. He had already been planning to do it for a while, and the original plan was to make solo albums alongside the Hollies albums, but the other members of the group weren't really into the idea because, you know, of course it would mean releasing less albums, having to deal with, you know, Alan's busy schedule, like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't record vocals on this song, I'm currently working on, you know, this thing in my, like, solo career and working on so-and-so. So it ended up being sort of a mutual agreement to have him leave the group to pursue his solo career, and he was replaced with a Swedish singer named Michael Rickfors. But that's a story for another time. I'll get into it more later. But we have to move on, of course, to the amazing other song, You Know the Score. One of Alan's solo songs, actually, and the reason why I brought it up partially, was heavily referencing this particular song. It's on his, I think, second solo album, Headroom, the song People of That Kind, which I'll probably finish off this broadcast with if I have the time. But yeah, You Know the Score, it's another war-related song, and features, of course, more distorted guitar, and just this absolutely beautiful, gorgeous middle section with wind and organ, and it really, like, it takes you back for a minute before, like, jumping back into that, like, hard part, and I really love it. Like, that beautiful harmonies, the where's that sort of bring your mind back to Promised Land, and I especially love the more serious lyrics that the group was putting out at this time. You know, originally throughout the 60s, they were mostly known for their love songs and things, and even the songs that weren't about love were maybe about something kind of, you know, silly and, like, just innocent. But, of course, around this time, I think they're, you know, trying to be taken more seriously as a group, and especially as songwriters. And they began writing these war protest songs, and I especially love this one. It's one of my favorites out there, even if not a lot of people know it. And I love how raw and full of emotion the lyrics are. It's sort of about the disillusion of, you know, your, like, parents, you know, promising this, like, world of plenty, and then it's just not what you see. Like, I just especially love those, like, lyrics around the end. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me, Lord. Come on down with your fiery sword. rid this place of all its hate, show us your face before it's too late. It goes so hard. But now, we're about to go into another Terry Sylvester song sung and penned with Cable Car. And then we have two more songs after that, and then we'll be done, almost. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I know it's a little bit rough right now, but hopefully in post I'll be able to fix some things here and there. But yeah, let's just continue on with the album. Here's Cable Car.
Cable car, flying high, passing star, wondering why. Did she go or did she die? I don't know. Mountainside, not so green. Snow's more than ever seen. Will she come? Time I
it's over, will over in my mind and in my heart. It's over, will over, but then again, it didn't have a good start. You tell me, try sell me, it could have been all I asked. It's over, well over, yes, there it flows away, a distant past.
Clark is just so incredible, whether he's killing people, getting killed, singing, playing harmonica, or screaming. He's just very awesome. And that was The Hollies with Distant Light. Those last few songs, I'm going to talk about them right now, starting off with Cable Car, sung by Terry Sylvester. I think Terry's more soft vocals just really work well with this one. It's a much slower song with a lot more acoustic guitar, and I love how, you know, like, solemn and lonely the song feels. It's just such a beautiful song, and I love the way it sets the scene, too, especially just being alone in this cable car thinking about your lost love while the snow's falling around you, and it's just a pure, White Abyss. But then the next song, A Little Thing Like Love. I know this was one of the songs sort of mentioned as being callbacks to their more poppy sound of the previous decade, but I still think it has some nice rock and roll elements to it, too. And again, just those raw sort of vocals about, I guess, just like trying to, you know, lift up. I always thought of it as like to a daughter, but I guess it could be a lover, too. Trying to lift up this person, this debutante, and like have her make her way through the world and support her, even though you're in poverty and having to sacrifice so much. There's almost a little bit of bitterness to it, but it's like mostly sweet, and I love the chorus so much, and just those beautiful strings. And then finally, the album finishes off with Long Dark Road, just an incredible song, an incredible closing number. I haven't gotten the chance yet to highlight their drummer, Bobby Elliott, but he is just truly one of the best drummers ever of all time. And you can quote me on this. He just is. And Long Dark Road is just such an amazing album closer. I mean, it literally, the lyrics go, you know, it's over. It wasn't meant to last. And indeed, it wasn't meant to last for Alan Clark to be in the group, but it also wasn't meant to last for him to be gone, because shortly afterwards, in 1974, the Hollies, only having released two albums with their new singer, Michael Rickfors, Alan Clark actually rejoined the group, and they had a couple more hits after that. So many more albums, oh my gosh. But of course, they had another very iconic song, The Air That I Breathe, and just many others. And if this, you know, broadcast, a bit sloppy as it is, did anything for you, I hope that it encouraged you to go check the Hollies out. Because, I mean, as great as an opportunity as it is to, instead of just playing a bunch of, you know, songs back to back to back, it is really nice to just sit back and relax and play a full album and to just get immersed in it. I feel like it's just such a good thing to do, just for your knowledge of music, your appreciation for it, even your mental health and your like imagination, to just sit back and hear a full album. And if I could, I would play the whole Hollies discography as like a 24-hour marathon. Do you think people would listen to that next semester, maybe? I'm joking. I would, though, if I had 24 hours. But now, the album's over. It's all over. In my mind and in my heart. And I just love this. I think everyone should listen to it. Next week we are having our late 50s, early 60s broadcast. It's not actually next week. Next week there's no Sugar Dove. Because I'll be gone for Thanksgiving break. And you'll be gone too. And I hope you have a wonderful time, because I love you, and you're so awesome for tuning in. But the week after that, on December 7th, we have our late 50s, early 60s broadcast, and I hope you tune in. This time we do not have I thought about doing a Christmas-themed one again, but then I was like, we already had one last year. It's not going to be very close to Christmas as it was last year, so we're just doing another normal broadcast, and then we're going to keep continuing on into the spring semester. And who knows, I might do one or two more, you know, of these record deep dives. Of course, we're gonna have Vinylthon at some point. But yeah, this is very much an experiment, like heavy emphasis on experiment. I've never done a broadcast like this before. It's even weird right now talking without a script. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, because of you, I feel like I've gained so much confidence through this show, and it's really just built my character so much, and built my appreciation and knowledge of music so much. And yeah, this was a great time. It's been a great year and a half getting to share music with y'all, and I hope to do it more. I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving. maybe spend it listening to the entire Hollies discography, but I can't. I can only lead a horse to water. I can't make it drink, can I? Yeah, if you enjoyed this album, and moreover, if you enjoyed the Hollies discography, I think you should also check Alan Clark's solo catalog. And to close out this record deep dive, I thought I would play a song from that one that I mentioned earlier, People of That Kind. It is off of his 1973 album, Headroom. And while it also focuses a lot on the Vietnam War, it also touches a bit on poverty and just a very interesting song. And I think it's a great way to close us out. And yeah, you're, of course, listening to KHDX 93.1 FM in Conway, Arkansas. And I love all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope to see you on December 7th, 2 weeks from now, in a fortnight. And this was the Sugar Dove Deep Dive. I don't really know how to end it. I've never done this before. Closing us out, though, is Alan Clark with People of That Kind.